we finish out the book of Haggai. Over the last few weeks, over the last four Sundays, we've thought about this challenge that has come to God's people. Is it time to be building your own houses, your paneled houses, when God's house remains a ruin? Two chapters, 38 verses that pack a punch. And the challenge is this: is God central in your life and in your living? That was the challenge the first week. The second week, to come together, the people came together to build. And so it was about doing this work as community. The third Sunday, we considered how the people looked. They looked back and they thought, this house looks like nothing compared to Solomon's temple. But the words came through Haggai, be strong, I am with you. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear, because the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of the past. It wasn't about the grandeur and the fancy outward expression and experience of the temple. Solomon's temple was just beyond compare. But the glory would be that the Messiah would come and minister in this temple, that God's salvation story would be revealed through it. So people come together, hear the challenge, take courage, because God is with you. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. And then last week was the challenge, just really about our holiness and our purity. Because it's easy to do the work and go through the motions but not have the heart. And that was the challenge of last week. That call to holiness. And then the reminder, give careful thought to your ways. Consider your ways. And the reminder, I am with you. Be strong. From this day on, the fourth message finished. From this day on, I will bless you. And so the challenge to us as a community of God's people, as it was to the people in Haggai's day for Ballywillan, is the challenge of putting God first, of working together as a community of different people, unity in our diversity, taking courage that it's a spiritual work, that God is with us, and that we're called also to holiness. We thought last week about AI and about the hidden sin in the camp. And that's a challenge to all of us. But the fifth message in the book of Haggai comes chapter 2, verse 20 through to 23. It's actually just four verses. Maybe we could read it together. Just give you a moment or two to lift scripture. The last four messages were to the people. But there's a sudden change here. And this message is to Zerubbabel, to the governor of Judah. Let's read the words together. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. So what do these words mean? Four short verses, but to talk about a mighty God. Do you ever feel small? Do you ever feel insignificant? Do you ever feel that you don't really count? Probably can't quite see it there, but between the thumb and forefinger in that picture, there's an aeroplane. Do you ever feel small? Do you ever feel insignificant? Maybe you have a great job. Maybe you're very successful in lots and lots of ways, but when you're on your own, you feel like you don't really count and you're not achieving much. I know, maybe you don't, and that's great. But very often, behind the mask, we struggle with our own insecurities. Put yourself in the position of Zerubbabel. His family had been taken into captivity in Babylon, then taken over by Assyria or Persia. And after a generation, allowed to come back to Jerusalem. On you go. It's okay. I let you go. And here is Zerubbabel, the governor. He is actually of the line of King David. He comes down through that genealogy. But is he a puppet king, puppet governor? And they're living in a building site. And there are these massive nations all around them. Do you ever feel small? So the verse that we put up with the children is actually Zechariah, who prophesied at the same time as Haggai. And he was speaking to and of Zerubbabel. And the work that was going on that seemed maybe like nothing, but he says, who despises the day of small things? And we thought this morning that small things are very powerful. Small things can often have a massive effect. So Zerubbabel, the governor, and this tiny remnant of people that were allowed home are surrounded by mighty and powerful nations. Who despises the day of small things? We thought a few weeks ago, God plus one is a majority. If God is with you, the mighty God, then the power is there to overthrow the giants. J.B. Phillips, quite a few years ago, wrote a very popular book, Your God is Too Small. Question for us this morning, how big is our God? What do we trust God for, and how do we look upon him? It's interesting that the little verse, or the words, if I just find them here, declares the Lord Almighty. Okay, the little phrase, Lord Almighty, in the Message, Eugene Peterson translated as God of the angel armies. The mighty God, God Almighty, the God of the angel armies. And 11 times through the 38 verses in Haggai, we read this phrase, I am with you, says the Lord Almighty. I am with you, says the God of the angel armies. So here's this man who felt so insignificant, but God is saying, I am with you. I am the mighty God. I will shake and overthrow nations. Again, if you look at, I will overturn royal thrones, shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms, overthrow chariots and drivers. This is mighty words from a mighty God that he is saying through Haggai to Zerubbabel, I will shake the nations. If you remember in Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7, we read those words. Again, so the Lord is just reminding Haggai, reminding Zerubbabel, this is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the God of the angel armies. The mighty God is with you. Raymond read for us in 2 Kings 6. It's a fantastic story. A fantastic story about how God was with Elisha, and the Armenians were attacking, or Arameans were attacking Judah and Jerusalem, the Israelite people, all the time. And then the Lord of the angel armies started, through Elisha, telling the king where they were going to attack. And the king of Aramean couldn't figure out how this was happening. There must be a spy in the camp. Who's doing this? And somebody said, the prophet of God is telling the people what is happening. And they came to get Elisha, to take him out, to take him down. It's like a Western story. And the servant went out in the morning, and he looked up around the mountains, and he saw all the chariots and the soldiers, and he panicked. And he came into Elisha, and Elisha said, "Fear not. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The mighty God." Prayed that the servant's eyes would be opened, and he went out and he looked around and he saw on the hillsides chariots of fire. A great multitude who were greater than the enemy. Do we need to have our eyes open to the might of our God and the spiritual battle that we are in as we live for Him today? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What's your battle where you need your eyes opened to the power and the might of God with you? What have you been walking through? Maybe it's sorrow and bereavement. Maybe it's somebody at work that's just there to trip you up and actually despises you because you're a Christian. Maybe it's difficulty within your family life. Where do we need to see the God of the angel armies with us? Because He promises to be there. That He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so this fifth message, but this time to an individual, but it applies to all of us, is that God is a mighty God. When you feel weak, when you feel insignificant, God is a mighty God. The second thing is this, and we would completely miss it in the story without looking back. There is a whole picture here of God's mercy. God is a merciful God. And just in verse 23, "On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord. I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty." Let's quickly just unpack this. For the first time, speaking to Zerubbabel, three times he's described as the governor, this time described as my servant. That's interesting. Because he has bowed the knee, he has come back to Jerusalem. But yes, he's governor, yes, he's of the Davidic line, but he serves his God. "I will make you like my signet ring." That picture of authority and promise. When the stamp of the king's signet ring is on something, there is an authority with it, and there is a promise with it that things will be done. "For I have chosen you to be special." And this links back to, it's a lovely phrase through Scripture. In Hebrew, the word segula, which means treasured possession. "For I have chosen you. You are my treasured possession." That idea of the king's ring was always worn on person, either on the finger or on a chain around the neck. It was so precious, and it stood for promise and authority and strength, and owned by a special one. "For I have chosen you." So God is saying to Zerubbabel, "You're my servant. I give you my signet ring. I make you my signet ring," that sense of authority and promise. "You're special. I have chosen you." John 15, verse 16, we are reminded, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. Go and bear much fruit." So this morning, like Zerubbabel, we have been chosen. If we love the Lord as Savior, we are chosen by Him. Let's unpack this a little bit further. There's a picture and a story of redemption here. Let me read just what was said to, it would have been Zerubbabel's great-grandfather. Surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull it off. I will hand you over to those who seek your life, those you fear, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and to the Babylonians. I will hurl you and the mother who gave birth into another country where neither of you was born. And there you will die. Did you catch that? Again, very end of the chapter. None of his offspring will prosper. No one will sit on the throne of David or rule anymore in Judah. Before the people were taken into judgment in Babylon, the story there, Jehoiachin was, if you were a signet ring on my finger, I would take it off and hurl it away. Zerubbabel's great-grandfather. And here the Lord is saying to Zerubbabel, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you. And it's a picture of redemption. You know the story of the two lost sons, but the rebellious son who went away came back and was embraced by the father, and a robe put on him, sandals on his feet, and a ring on his finger, signifying that he was brought back into the fold. So here for Zerubbabel, his family were under judgment, but God brings redemption. In Ephesians chapter 2, again, we will be familiar with the words, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not by works so that no one can boast. God's grace on us, a merciful God. Zerubbabel did not deserve to be reinstated. Zerubbabel did not deserve this redemption, but God chose to give it to him. And in that, there was restoration. Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3, we read Zerubbabel's name in the begats, in the family tree of the line of David that brings us to our Savior. Redemption and restoration. Luke chapter 15, verse 22, the ring put on the son's finger who had come back, a sign of the authority of the family. Did he deserve it? Absolutely not. But the merciful father in the story in Luke 15 is this image of a merciful God whom we worship. And the family privilege of being sons and daughters of Christ. Because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And so you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. Folks, this morning, as we draw things to a close, we come before a mighty God. God who says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. That's the promise. There is restoration, there is redemption through God's mercy. For you this morning, have you received that? I love this little verse in Matthew, and you can see it in the story of Zerubbabel, whose family had been written off, but God in his mercy relented and brought mercy to the people. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Does your faith feel this morning like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick that's just about to snuff out and die? Well, God in his mercy wants to redeem and wants to restore. As we come to an end of the book of Haggai, say this message specifically to Zerubbabel, but it applies to us. What can God do in and through us? In Jerusalem, this building site, where it was a shame and embarrassment to the name of God, through Zerubbabel and through Joshua the high priest, through the message of Haggai, the people came together, and this insignificant, weak individual led the people. A man whose family name had been a shame had been restored and given a great job by the mighty God and the merciful God. It's interesting when you read in the first few verses we've looked at today, 20 through to 22, it talks about God will shake the nations because he is a mighty God. In verse 23 that we've just thought about, a merciful God. And if you look at the verse there, it talks, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel. And then further on down, I will make you like my signet ring. So this morning, if you feel insignificant, the Lord says, I want to take you. And I want to make you. Don't know if that makes you feel uncomfortable or makes you feel encouraged. But the mighty God is the merciful God who has the power to shake nations, but also the power to take both you and I in our brokenness, our weakness, our sinfulness, and make us, remake us. Just going to sing in a moment. Maybe the band want to jump up, would be great. In the words of Mighty to Save, I love the first words of the second verse. So take me as you find me, with all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I don't know what that says to you. To me, it says, Gordy, you don't need to be big and strong. You need to trust in the Lord. And in your weakness and your frailty and at times your sinfulness and disobedience, when we come to God with a repentant heart, he will take us as the mighty God and as the merciful God and lead us forward. We just, for the first half of the song, just keep our seats just to sing in response to what the Lord has said to us this morning.